This is Joe Burns.
And Chad P.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Rock School Podcast.
We think you'll learn something.
Now remember, if you want to hear the show with all the music in place, go to KSLU.org and stream the show live, Thursdays at 5.
And Sundays at 4.
It's a new show every week.
Now enjoy this week's Rock School Radio Show.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
It's time for school. Rock School. With your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns and Chad P.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, as in the one in Cleveland, that's a huge book. That's one of those that no matter where you drop it, it puffs up a cloud of dust. No matter you drop it on the floor that's just been cleaned, dust comes
it's
up.
It's like the Pirate Code according to Bartholomew with a big padlock on it. Boom.
Stuff comes up.
Class is in.
Hey, according to WikiLeaks, world leaders listen to Rock School.
They do?
Yeah, can you believe that?
No.
Yeah, after we called them bad names, they decided to start listening to the radio
show. They're listening to us right now.
That's right, this very second. Can you believe that?
That's kind of freaky, dude.
It is. we're actually being listened to over in Herzegovina. Now, my name is Joe Burns, a professor in the communication department. You are?
Chad P.
Now, let's get into this real quick, because I got a lot to get across. I was looking at the internet, as a whole, just looking at the internet, staring right. at it. Yeah. And I found a guy who had a website where he was listing seminal moments in rock, whereas the world sort of turned at these points.
Yeah.
And he
yeah.
only had a few of them up there.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to start listing my own.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to stop at 50, but I came up with like 63, and I couldn't cut it back to 50.
We couldn't just do the 63, the top 63 moments?
Because that's a dumb number, 63. So I kept going.
Okay.
And I ramped it up to 100.
Oh.
And we haven't done a twofer show in a long time.
No, we haven't.
So let's do a twofer show.
The 100 greatest moments in rock and roll?
Well, seminal moments.
Define seminal. What
well, a time
about?
When the world kind of went bing and shot off in a different direction.
A shift change.
Right, a shift change. Something new occurred.
Okay, all
it
right.
really had an effect on the world of music.
A turning point.
Right, and these are drawn from as many different sources as I could find,
mm-hmm.
and of course from my own brain.
All right.
So these are not really mine because I did grab them from different sources, but a lot of them are from me.
Okay.
Like the first two. Number 100. I'm going to move as quick as I can. 1948. The term rhythm and blues is coined by a young Billboard reporter and future Atlantic Records producer, a guy named Jerry Wexler. It replaces race records.
That's right. That's right.
A year later, which signifies a new shift in music.
Mm-hmm.
Number 99. The words rock and roll, which was first used in gospel and jubilee music, leave gospel and jubilee music and start to appear in popular music. In fact, for the first time in 1922 in Trixie Smith's My Baby Rocks Me with One Steady Roll.
I remember that from
yes.
From a lecture.
Number 98, December 11th, 1965, the alternative rock movement is born. Some people say yes, some people say no. I say yes because the Velvet Underground plays their first show. And here they are. There she goes again. Rock School. There goes Velvet Underground. There she goes again as we rock through the 100 seminal moments in rock, according to, well, me.
Yeah.
And a bunch of other people. 97. The first rock panic over dirty lyrics comes around in 1963 after the Kingsmen record Louie Louie.
That's not dirty lyrics.
No, none of them. But people thought it was dirty lyrics because the administration under Kennedy gets all upset after somebody writes to RFK and says, these lyrics are dirty. And instead of calling the Kingsmen and saying, what are the lyrics to this song? They decide to go and look at it. And
yeah, didn't
find
they have
the
like five different versions?
Oh, sure. Actually, three different versions. Yeah. But, well, they found what they wanted to find, like mm-hmm. Tipper Gore found what she wanted to find. Number 96, in 1936, November 23rd to be exact, Robert Johnson has his first recording session, hooks up with the devil, and the Rosetta Stone for future rock pioneers is set. Number 95, in the 100 seminal moments in rock. In 1955, finally, rock and roll music warrants a mention in the Encyclopedia Britannica. Guess what they refer to it as?
What?
Jungle music.
What?
Really?
Jungle music?
That's right. The Encyclopedia Britannica referred to it as jungle music. Number 94 in the 100 seminal moments in rock. August 21st, 1966, The Doors performed The End at LA's Whiskey A Go-Go, and they are permanently banned from the club.
Why?
Yeah, because if you've ever heard The End, it's got this Oedipal thing in it. Dad, I want to kill you. Mom, I want to... And you have to let your mind go on from
wow.
there. Number 93, and the one we're going to play. In 1956, Screamin' Jay Hawkins releases a song called I Put a Spell on You.
Good song.
You know it?
I sure do.
Because of its, quote, cannibalistic nature. I don't even know what that means. I don't know how they got it from the song. Because of its cannibalistic nature, the song gets a complete radio ban. No radio airplay. However, it sells a million copies, thus becoming rock's first underground hit. Ta-da!
Ta-da.
Screamin' Jay Hawkins. Rock School.
Put a spell on you.
This is Rock School as we move slowly but surely through my 100 seminal moments in rock.
Talking about that Screamin' Jay Hawkins song selling a million, do you know how hard that is without radio airplay?
Oh, yeah. That's why it's called the first underground hit.
Mm-hmm.
It had to go from word of mouth. It
yep.
had to go person to person.
Absolutely.
Number 92. On January 31st, 1955, RCA demonstrates the first synthesizer. And
was
rock
cool.
was never the same.
That was cool.
Yeah, and Madonna was born. 91, September 8th, 1965, a classified ad runs to form the Monkees. And every band following them was born. Josie and the Pussycats, the Gorillaz, and I think the current incarnation of Guns N' Roses. 90, on the list of 100 seminal moments in rock, June 18th, 1988, Depeche Mode becomes the first synth rock band to sell out the Rose Bowl. 80,000 go to see them at SoCal Stadium, and synth rock gets its stamp of legitimacy.
Cool deal.
I love Depeche Mode. And the one we're going to play, 89. On July 6th, 1977, Roger Waters spits on a fan during a Pink Floyd show.
Yeah.
Do you know why that's important?
No.
Because it inspires him to write The Wall.
The spitting on a fan?
That's right. He was so upset with being a rock star, with touring, that a fan came up to grab him that he spits on him. And he hated himself so much for doing it that he wrote this rock star alienation masterpiece called The Wall. And it was on July 6th, 1977 that he spit on a fan. And that's the turning point. Here you go. Happiest days of our lives right into another brick in the wall. Rock School. This is Rock School as we talk about the 100 seminal moments in rock.
I would
yes,
like
ma'am.
To point out something totally not related to this topic, but
what's
I
that?
Think you need to know it.
What's that?
We ran out of green bean casserole over the Thanksgiving holidays. So you take that.
My wife came a heartbeat from making one just to spite me.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about more moments in rock and roll. Into the 80s. 88. On April 6, 1974, ABBA wins the Eurovision Song Contest by a larger margin than anybody else, making it possible for the ascension of Swedish pop. And, of course, 18 bajillion drunken wedding dances. Number 87, in 1957, the stroll becomes the first dance associated with rock and roll music.
I love the stroll.
So do I. Number 86. On November 21st, 1959, Alan Freed is destroyed in the payola scandal, ending the career of the DJ who started the term rock and roll.
Oh, and he was a cool DJ, too.
Yeah, he was, man. 85. July 18th, 1991. Lollapalooza premieres, introducing the U.S. to the Traveling Music Festival.
That's Perry, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
1955, I should say. This is number 84 on the 100 Seminal Moments in Rock. September 19th, 1955, Pat Boone hits number one with Ain't That a Shame, showing that it is possible to bleach out versions of African Americans' music,
yeah.
And radio industry basically tried to destroy that form of music and basically take squeaky clean white artists, mm-hmm. and basically wipe out African American artists. And they came pretty close to it through radio airplay. Number 83, January 26, 1995. All you fans of Napster, the first MPEG music file was patented.
What was it?
It doesn't say in here. Why do I know it was a Black Eyed Peas song? It had to be. And the one we're going to play. Number 82 on the 100 Seminal Moments in Rock, March 17th, 1958, Link Wray invents distortion. The brutal song Rumble introduced the world to the fuzz tone guitar sound. You can argue over who had the first distorted guitar, but many people believe it was Link Wray.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounded like this. Rock School.
There's just something about distortion that makes this sound like this,
yeah.
And it's so much cooler.
Tougher.
Let me ask you a quick question.
Shoot.
Where did you get the majority of this stuff?
Three books. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame,
mm-hmm.
as in the one in Cleveland. That's a huge book. That's one of those that no matter where you drop it, it puffs up a cloud of dust. No matter, you drop it on the floor that's just been cleaned, dust comes up.
It's like the Pirate Code, according to Bartholomew, with a big padlock on it.
Boom! Stuff comes up. Where Were You When the Music Played,
mm-hmm.
which is a really good book, and the Rolling Stones Encyclopedia of Rock. I just literally sat down and flipped through it,
mm-hmm.
and just kept going until I found things that I really thought were interesting. And I also hit a couple websites. The Digital Dream Door was another one. I just love that site.
But see, you're a book guru.
Oh, I love them.
Yeah, I don't really like to read that much. It's not a good thing. It's not something I'm proud of.
Yeah.
But I have really, really bad ADD, and it's hard for me to follow a book.
Oh, see, I will sit there and, like, I'm already preparing for next year's lecture on the music lecture that I do
fanfare,
every year.
Yeah.
I'm already preparing for it,
mm-hmm.
and I've purchased 7 books for it. My wife, it's really sad. She'll come over. How many have you bought?
Just 7.
Just 7. You know, Christmas is around the corner. Good, buy me more. You know, that's kind of the way I am. We're at number 81. We'll come back and we'll knock out a few of them, and I'll play one for you that deals with movies, because I really think there is a rock and roll connection that started, bang, right around 1971. Hello, Radio Universidad, Salamanca, Spain. Thanks for running the radio show.
Hello at KSCL in Shreveport, Louisiana. The next 100 cool things of rock and roll happen in Shreveport.
Right. After these are done, the next 100 will start in Shreveport, Louisiana.
That's right.
Get us on Facebook. Search Rock School Radio Show. Every time I log in, there's more of you.
More fans.
That's right. It keeps getting larger and larger. We want to see that number going up. Back in a minute. Rock School. Back to the 100 seminal moments in rock and roll.
I feel like you should have some blue cards throwing them behind you.
Oh, you think
David
so?
Letterman style.
Little crash window.
Yeah.
1965, the first rock concert movie, The Tammy Show, is filmed and released out of Santa Monica, featuring Beach Boys, Stones, Supremes, Jan and Dean, Miracles, Marvin Gaye, Chuck Berry, and James Brown.
The Tammy Show?
T-A-M-I.
Oh.
T-A-M-I.
Okay.
Number 80. April 14th, 1982. You ready for this?
Sure.
Karaoke arrives in the United States at a bar called Dimples in Burbank, California. I've sang so much karaoke, it's insane.
Do you sing karaoke?
Oh, I love it.
I didn't know that.
It's sad how much I like to sing karaoke.
I do too.
Yeah, I sing Elton John. I like Elton John songs and karaoke.
You'd be so embarrassed if I told you, but I'm going to tell you anyway.
Go ahead.
I sing country.
Do you?
I do.
The vocal stuff is just there. That's fine. Number 79, July the 4th. Happy July the 4th. 1970. Casey Kasem's American Top 40 debuts in Los Angeles, and people start to really care about a song's chart position, finally. Mm. And of course, they care about the little puppy dog. Could you please play I Wish You Were Here for My Dog Snuggles? That's the worst Casey Kasem imitation you've ever heard.
Casey Kasem.
Number 78. May 29th, 1983 is Heavy Metal Day at the US Festival. 300,000 people bang their head to Motley Crue, Van Halen, and a bunch of other ones, confirming hair metal's arrival.
Yeah.
There you go. And number 77. In 1971, Shaft becomes the first major motion picture with an original score composed entirely by one rock artist.
Who?
Isaac Hayes.
I love him.
Yep. Becomes a runaway hit. Curtis Mayfield does it again the next year. One artist does the entire soundtrack, establishing a link between two dominant forms of culture. But finally, one person writes an entire movie soundtrack. I'm just talking about Shaft.
It's my duty.
That's right.
Protect your booty.
I'm going to cough my way into this one. Shaft, Rock School. Just talking about Shaft right here on Rock School. Take a quick break from the 100 seminal moments in rock. Welcome to the bottom of the hour. I'm Joe Burns.
Chad P.
Let's do 7 days and 70 seconds. November 29th, that's a Monday, through December 5th, that's a Sunday. Monday, Chad, do it.
On Monday, November 29th, back in 1982, I can't believe it was 82, when Metallica played its first headlining show.
It's amazing. Bands that just seem like they've been around forever.
Yeah.
And you hear about, that's all the longer they've been out. Tuesday, November 30th, 2003, the corner of Bowery and 2nd Street in New York City is named Joey Ramone Place.
The 1st of December in 1957 featured the Ed Sullivan Show performance debut by two Rock and Roll Hall of Famers. That would be Buddy Holly and Sam Cooke.
Very nice. December 2nd, Thursday, 1986, MTV airs Michael Jackson's Thriller for the first time.
December the 3rd, that's a Friday in 2010, but back in 1980, a famed photographer by the name of Annie Leibovitz photographed Yoko Ono and John Lennon in their apartment in New York City.
30 years ago, Saturday, December 4th, Led Zeppelin issues a press release officially confirming they will not continue without John Bonham. And then December 5th, on a Sunday, 1956, Alan Freed's film Rock, 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 starring Chuck Berry, Flamingos, Frankie Lyman, Laverne Baker, and Johnny Burnett is released. And that's 7 days in 70 seconds. Back to the 100 seminal moments in rock. I'll do two of them, get you right into a song. Number 76, January 1st, 1994, Max Martin. You know who he is, Max Martin?
Max Martin.
He decides to quit being a cashier and start producing music, and the boy band is created.
He did this.
He's the guy that brought us the boy bands.
Oh.
And number 75, we're halfway. June 27th, 1966, rock's first concept record comes out. Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention release Freak Out.
Shout out, Steve.
There you go. Here's Trouble Every Day. Rock School.
Well, I'm about to get upset. Watching my TV. Checking out the news until my eyeballs fail to see. I mean, to say that every day is just another rotten mess. And when it's going to change.
A This is Rock School, talking about what I consider the 100 seminal moments in rock. Here's number 74. In 1934, Muzak becomes a registered trademark, Muzak. And no one can ride in an elevator silently again.
Yeah.
Number 73. In October of 1978, Sid Vicious, bassist for the Sex Pistols, is arrested for the murder of his girlfriend, Nancy Spungen, in New York City. Punk is no longer fun. It's now dangerous, and it gets a name change. They call it New Wave.
What?
They called punk New Wave.
Why? Just because of that?
Well, that was pretty much the thing that put the cherry on top of the sundae. Punk was kind of fun here in the United States,
mm-hmm.
but the stuff that came over from the UK mm-hmm. was nasty and sneering and ugly.
Yeah.
And the people who were kind of selling it, that's not fun. Let's glam it up. Let's make it pretty. Let's put skinny ties on them. Let's put flashy jackets. Let's make pretty girls out front, blondie.
Yeah.
And bow, wow, wow, that kind of stuff. And we'll call it New Wave.
Mm.
That's literally what happened.
Oh, okay.
72. In 1963, the Ronettes, Be My Baby, comes on the chart, and the whole world is introduced to a new guy named Phil Spector.
Mm-hmm.
Number 71, I hate to say this, but in 1985, November, Starships We Built This City reaches number one, and the world of pre-produced corporate rock has its day.
You don't like that song, I know.
No. The 100 seminal moments in rock that we're talking about. Number 70, I'm going to try to go a little bit here to get to our next song. Number 70. In 1972, Willie Nelson plays his first show at Austin's Armadillo World Headquarters, kicking off Nashville-defying outlaw country movement, bringing together snake-baked, sun-baked hippies and just maybe a weed dealer or two.
Or two.
Or two. Number 69. In October of 1982, Billy Joel's 52nd Street goes on sale in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Any idea why that's of any importance?
No.
It's the first compact disc ever to go on sale.
Ever?
How about that?
Whoa.
Billy Joel's. July 1st, 1979. This is number 68. The Walkman goes on sale. Yep. If anybody wants to know what that is, it's the 0 gigabyte iPod. sorry, just made that up. And the one we're going to play, 1981. May 11th, 1981. Reggae artist Bob Marley dies of cancer in Miami, Florida, as his condition of cancer worsened on his flight back to Jamaica. And it looks like the world's kind of lost its ambassador.
Mm-hmm.
This is the guy that it was the only living man to have a country's anthem written, while he was still alive.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just sort of became this icon. People who don't really even know his music sort of see him as an icon mm-hmm. of peace and love and giving. And on that date, May 11th, 1981, the world lost him. Here you go. Bob Marley, Rock School.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up.
All right, time to take a break here on Rock School as we do the 100 seminal moments in rock. Let me do three before we actually get into our one-minute little break here.
I guessed.
Number 66, back in 1967, the Grateful Dead debut their live epic Dark Star, and the jam band movement begins.
Mm.
All right.
Cool.
Number 65, maybe my favorite on the whole list.
Got
why isn't it
to do
higher?
With Van Halen,
has
I
to.
Mm-hmm.
After a show at the University of Southern Colorado, in direct, don't do this to their writer, the band finds
what?
Brown M&Ms in their backstage dressing room. It said right on the writer,
no,
don't
brown
put
M&Ms.
The brown M&Ms in there.
Now, I know the reason why, because of the writer show, but educate the audience,
well,
if you will.
It wasn't put in there because they're jerks. It was put in there because, look, this is just the backstage food.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we said no brown M&Ms. It's like the holy grail of backstage writers.
Therefore, if you put brown M&Ms in our food.
You didn't read the easy stuff.
You didn't read.
Right, and if you didn't read the easy stuff, What have you screwed up down the line?
Mm-hmm.
Have you screwed up the electricity? Have you screwed up, you know, how much electricity? What has to be grounded and that kind of stuff? Are we going to die on stage because you decided not to read the rider?
Hey, I have an idea. They didn't read the rider. Let's trash the place.
Yeah, well, you know, you gotta be paid back for what you didn't do.
Right.
And finally, number 64, on May 5th in 1986, Cleveland, Ohio, is chosen to be the site for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Go around.
Hey, KLSU, you run the radio show. Thank you.
As does WBSD in Burlington, Wisconsin.
We'll be back in a minute because we got a lot to talk about. Rock School. This is Rock School as we talk about what I consider the 100 seminal moments in rock.
How come you didn't ask me for any seminal moments in rock?
Oh, it would have taken too long to put the list together. I did it over a break. Number 63, March 2nd, 1984, This is Spinal Tap is released. You betcha. Number 62, in December of 1969, Meredith Hunter is stabbed to death at Altamont during a Rolling Stones concert, bringing to an end the peace and love counterculture of the 60s.
Peace and love. That show was anything but peace and love.
What crashed it? You know, if Woodstock opened peace and love, Altamont closed it.
What did you expect when you have Hell's Angels as your security staff?
Number 61, in 1992, Bill Clinton blows his sax on Arsenio Hall, and for the first time, a member of the rock and roll generation goes to the White House. Number 60. 1957, Little Richard renounces rock and roll for the Lord, becoming the first rock star to be born again, paving the way for, I mean, Al Green, Brian Head Welch, and many, many others that would follow behind him. And the one we're going to play, number 59, U2 plays Red Rocks. Now, U2, biggest band around. This concert either was going to make or destroy them. U2 is known because of their performance of Sunday Bloody Sunday.
Yeah.
Of this, what a lot of people don't know is that U2 took literally every penny they had, every penny, broke them, and recorded, videotaped this concert. Literally every penny they had. Had it not succeeded, had this videotape, had the video not hit MTV, had Bono standing there in a slight rain, you know, downpour, holding a white flag, screaming Sunday Bloody Sunday, had it not taken off like it had, U2 would have been a footnote in the world of music.
Wow.
But because it worked, U2 is
U2.
That was a turning point in not only rock, but in U2's world. Here is Sunday Bloody Sunday. Rock School. There's U2 on Rock School as we do the 100 seminal moments in rock. We're only going to make it to 54 today. Stop laughing at me.
It's funny.
We'll make them up next
OCD
week.
I know how OCD you are.
I know.
And
we'll
we
make
presented
it
the top 46 today.
Shut
Who does
up.
That?
Shut up. We'll make it next week. All right. Here comes number 58. 1976, Eagles released their greatest hits LP. Becomes the highest selling album period.
Ever.
Worldwide.
Ever.
Number 57, in 1987, hey, we can't seem to get this young singer on the radio. We can't get her out there. I mean, how are we going to get her to, you know, be popular?
Who?
Tiffany begins touring the malls.
The malls.
Yep. So what she does is completely circumvent the music world and tours the malls, and Tiffany becomes popular. Number 56, in 1980, Bon Scott dies.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Number 55, January 1st, 1953, Hank Williams is found dead in his Cadillac. There
I don't like these deaths. I understand that they have significant meaning in the world of music, but I, you know,
and
I
here's
like the positive stuff, man.
I know, but here's one we're going to end on. Number 54, last one we got. March 30th, 1965, a guy named Owsley. Augustus Owsley Stanley III.
Who is that?
Receives his first shipment of lysergic monohydrate.
What are you talking
800
about?
800 grams of the raw material for LSD. D.
Yeah.
And manufactures 300,000 capsules of, quote, white lightning, which was at the time legal in California, and turns on the entire West Coast. Hello, psychedelia. Want to hear the story? It's told inside of Steely Dan's Kid Charlemagne, the nickname of Augustus Owsley Stanley, the guy who brought us LSD.
So that's what we got to end on?
Kid Charlemagne.
A druggie?
Well, at least the song. That's right. Here's Steely Dan. We'll be back next week with the top 53. I'm Joe Burns.
I'm Chad P.
Class is dismissed.
While the music played, you walk by candlelight. Go to San Francisco nights. We're the best in town. Just by chance, you cross the